countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
On April 1st, 2015, the EU abolished milk quotas for the first time in over three decades.
The Irish Farmers Association has called on the government to ensure that new markets for dairy produce are pursued vigorously, following the lifting of milk quotas at midnight.
This allowed Irish farmers the freedom to increase milk production and exploit growing world markets.
The Minister for Agriculture, Simon Coveney, said Ireland will now become the fastest growing dairy producer in the world for the next 10 years.
5.5 years on, milk production has grown from 5 billion litres per annum to almost 8 billion. Ireland's 18,000 dairy farmers are now milking over 1.2 million cows, some having switched from beef and tillage production to the more lucrative dairy sector.
And I wish dairy farmers and the people in the food industry, particularly in the dairy side, every success in the years ahead because of these new policy changes that are coming into effect today.
But it's come at somewhat of a price for the environment, at a time when Ireland is looking to meet ambitious international climate change targets.
The evidence is clear that whereas the recent food strategies have delivered on intensification and growth, the natural environment has deteriorated.
Laura Burke is the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, and speaking at the recent Agricultural Science Association virtual conference, she had this to say.
The economic growth that has happened over recent years is happening at the expense of the environment. And we witness this in trends in water quality, greenhouse gas emissions, ammonia emissions, biodiversity, all going in the wrong direction. And it's also clear that agriculture and other land management practices are key drivers of these negative trends.
Yeah, so we're in Portlaoise, County Waterford, I suppose, the sunny southeast, they call it. It's a cold morning, but it's lovely, clear blue skies, it's a crisp morning. So.
On the ground, farmers say they are playing their part. Shane Fitzgerald is a young, third-generation dairy farmer from Portlaoise in County Waterford.
Normally, we'd be up at 6 o'clock, so during a closed paddock, we'd be starting milking by 6:30.
Since completing his studies and doing some world travel, Shane's now back home running the family 200-cow herd. But with the protection of biodiversity, water quality and the environment as important to him as making a living from the land. As he explained to me yesterday when I met him on a windy but sunny morning on the farm just after milking.
We have a high level of biodiversity on the farm, as well as increasing the numbers. Even in the grass fields alone in this country, like the amount of carbon that takes in from the atmosphere and the hedgerows, the soil, which is not even accounted for, we get no credit for, like, which is a bit unfair as well. So, and we've other simple things on the farm, like we set wildflower seeds in July there, and they're starting to come into flower already. And one thing unique to our farm is the whooper swans that come in every year. They come in the winter time for 5 to 6 months of the year. There could be 70 or 80 of them here. Like they're migratory birds, they're on the amber list of conservation. And there's one time you'd be saying, you'd be trying to hunt them away, you'd be saying they're eating all the grass. There was a lot of them there, but I suppose as times change, you come to appreciate them more. And it's lovely to have on the farm. And you know, it just goes to show that all the environmental stuff can all go hand in hand with what we're doing with the cows. Like, so we all embrace nature, and I suppose we're becoming more and more aware of it now as well. Like, so it's interesting. The more you learn about it, the more interest you take in it then, like, you know. Yeah, so there's the wildflowers we set there in July, already coming into the flower, and I suppose next year now they'll all be in full bloom. Actually, beside here there's the south facing bee scrape, it's called, so it's where solitary mining bees, so they can burrow into it. So because it's a bank all around the new shed we built, and it would have only been growing weeds, so it's nice to add a bit of colour to the place.
Cows are munching away.
So it's like, when I think of biodiversity, you think of the four principles: retain, maintain, create and enhance. So what we have on the farm already, we want to keep that, obviously. Then we want to try and make it better by improving our hedgerows, whether you're filling gaps in the hedgerows, that kind of thing. Then I suppose we want to create new hedgerows as well, and new habitats. So we also obviously want to create hedgerows as well in our main paddocks, because we do have some paddocks and where the cows are milked with no internal hedgerows. And we'll be looking at, again, all native species. That's kind of what we're focusing on. And then I suppose another things then we'd be doing is a low input pasture. It's kind of, it's wetland anyway, and it would cost us a lot of money to go redraining it, and it already has open drains around it, but there's springs down there, so we just need that go to nature basically, and we could do a few cows grazed away, and very simple things like just even moving our fences out a little bit from the ditches just gives it a bit of a margin for the bees and the wildlife again. So it's a lot of this stuff is very simple. Like,
what about fertilizer use?
Fertilizer use again, that's something we're always conscious of trying to reduce year on year. So the main thing there is, I suppose, getting our soil fertility up to optimal levels. So that means that we have enough nutrients in the soil that'll grow grass without relying too much on chemical fertilizers. So I actually measure grass here on the farm, which is, I suppose, it's what a lot of young farmers are starting to do now. So we're not over utilizing our over, I suppose, stocking the land, which is bad for the environment. So, and there's new things coming down the line as well. We use a new thing now called low emission slurry spreading. So I suppose people see traditional slurry spreading techniques, it's like a splash plate, so it's all splashed out into the air and a lot of it can be lost in the atmosphere. And I suppose the neighbours wouldn't be too happy when the the fumes come off it. So now it's this trade and shoe, it's called. It's like a kind of a rake or a fingers into the ground, and it puts straight into the soil. So it's, again, better for the environment, better for the farmer, and better for the public as well.
Whatever about these efforts to be more environmentally friendly, cows continue to emit methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas. However, research into genetics, genomics, feeding and breeding is ongoing to find ways of reducing methane emissions. And Shane says it's something he and other farmers are keeping close tabs on.
By focusing on genomics and genetics, you have a better, more efficient cow, which again reduces your carbon footprint. So it's necessarily having more cows doesn't mean you're going to have a higher carbon footprint. So if you can have more cows but they're more efficient than having less cows that are inefficient, it makes sense. So a lot of farms will end up consolidating now, because obviously we're going to try and protect the environment as best we can. That's going to make it sustainable from a work-life balance point of view. There's not going to be huge expansion in numbers again. So I think all farms will tell you we're custodians of the land, and we do try and do our best to leave it in a better place for the next generation than we got it. So I think that's important. It's not good for us if the land is not looked after. Like, it's obviously not going to be sustainable for us. So it's important that we look after all the biodiversity and the water and the air quality on the farm, like, because otherwise we'd be all out of a job.
Well, that was County Waterford dairy farmer Shane Fitzgerald there with a passion for farming, and as you heard there, a passion for nature as well. He says he's trying to do what he can to protect biodiversity on his farm and to mitigate against the stark problems mentioned in the earlier clip there from the EPA Director General Laura Burke, who was speaking at the recent Agricultural Science Association conference.